Excuses given to the Father. Do you ever make an excuse about something? At work, something doesn't go right and you make an excuse why it didn't go right. You're in school. You remember going to school and you're supposed to turn in your homework. Did anybody ever say the dog ate my homework? I never heard anybody say that, but apparently somebody must have done that at some time. But people make excuses why certain things can't be done. They make excuses as to why they can't do this, that, or the other. According to the dictionary, an excuse may refer to specific acts, especially in social or conventional situations, or the person responsible for these, like interruptions or whatever. Often the term implies extenuating circumstances. For example, I couldn't come to church this morning because my car wouldn't start. That's an excuse, but it's a valid excuse. If the car won't start, your car won't start. But if you say, I couldn't come to church this morning because my car wouldn't start, and the truth was you never put your key in the ignition, then that's not a valid excuse. You know, and sometimes we do things like that. Yeah, I didn't tell a lie. My car wouldn't start. Of course, it didn't start because you didn't put the key in the ignition. You know, excuses implies, one other word it implies too is to condone, implies one overlooks without censure behavior as dishonesty or violence that involves a serious breach of moral, ethical, or legal code. You know, people go to court. And you should hear some of the excuses given in court. I've been on several juries over the years and listened to some of these people get up and testify, especially when they're testifying for the defendant. I still remember to this day, this one guy, they had him dead to rights. They had everything but photographs of him robbing these people. And his mother gets up, but my boy was at home with me. But yet, I don't know how many different people picked him out of the lineup. He wasn't home, you know. But her excuse for it, he was at home. And, you know, but officer, I didn't run that red light. It was yellow a quarter of a mile back. And, you know, and I thought that just meant caution and I didn't see anybody coming, so I went. You know, we can get all kinds of excuses. We give all kinds of excuses to people. Basically, it boils down to trying to justify what we did not or cannot do something. Why we did not or cannot do something. As I said, some excuses are justifiable. Some excuses are not. I remember when I was in the first grade. Anybody else remember back to the first grade? I know Casey may remember back to the first grade. After all, he's so old. Did they even have first grades back then, Ray? Yeah. I remember back to the first grade, though, so many years ago, and I didn't want to go to school. I flat out didn't want to go to school. And I became the excuse king. My kids were growing up. I told them, I said, your excuses won't work. I invented a lot of them. And I remember one time, I wanted to leave school. I wanted to be sent home, and I would come up with all kinds of excuses. And I still remember to this day how one day I was sitting in the principal's office, had a lady principal. I'm convincing her that I've got appendicitis and she needs to send me home. I got sent home. Now, I'll have to say the kids in high school, because it was first grade through high school. There's only about 100 of us all together, maybe. The high school kids loved me because when I got sent home, one of them always had to walk me home. And it was about 3-4 miles. So they loved it because they got out of school for the rest of the day. You know, so I was their friend. You know. But I made all kinds of excuses. And I came out, like I said, with some pretty convincing ones. Excuses abound today, and we find all kinds of excuses why we can't do something. And we become very creative sometimes. Sometimes we want to make excuses for our family and our friends when they have done something wrong. You know, it's easy to point the finger at somebody else and say, well, that dirty, rotten so-and-so, they did that, you know, and that was wrong. But if it's a member of our family and they do the same thing, well, now we got to take into account because it's our family or our friends. You know? So we make excuses sometimes for them. And in the world we live in today, it seems like no one really wants to take ownership for what they've done. You know, that's kind of a new word that cropped up in the workplace, taking ownership for what you did on your job. You get a problem that comes in, you take ownership for that problem and you handle it and make sure that it gets taken care of. Taking ownership of the problem and working it out. And nobody really wants to take ownership of a lot of things today. We find an excuse why somebody else should have done it. Or somebody else did something that caused us to not be able to do it because something else that they did. And we go on down the line where it becomes so jumbled that no one could sort it out. We make excuses. You know the first excuse that was made to Father? It was back in the book of Genesis. And guess who that very first person was that made the excuse? The first excuse to Father. And that was Adam. Genesis 3:12. Here they are. Suddenly their eyes are open. They're standing there realizing. I mean, it was a big shock to them. They realize immediately that things changed. The Bible says that God walked with them in the cool of the day. And they're hiding out. They know that they have sinned. Serpent told Eve, if you eat of that tree, the knowledge of good and evil, you'll be just like God. And that's why he doesn't want you to eat of it. He's jealous. He doesn't want you to know all these things. So they ate. You know, this isn't the way people are today. You tell them not to do something, and sure as certain, that's what they'll go out and do. If you want your kids to do something, you tell them not to do it, knowing that they will do it. And I remember our oldest daughter, Melody, there were times that we would tell her not to do something. She'd come home that evening. Guess what I did today? Exactly what you told her not to do. Other kids do it. Adults do it. Tell them not to do something, they'll go out and do it. And here it is. Adam's confronted now, and he says in chapter 3, verse 12, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of that tree, and I did eat. But he's really kind of saying, Father, this woman that you gave me, she gave me this thing, and I've really, you know, I felt obligated. Who was the first henpecked husband, I guess? Must have been Adam. She gave it to me and I ate it because I knew what was best for me. I ate it, you know. But God, it's your fault. You gave her to me. If you hadn't put her in here in the garden with me, I'd have never ate of that tree. He was trying to pawn it off. Trying to pawn it off on Eve. He's trying to pawn it off on God. You gave her to me. It's your fault that I sinned. And we try to blame other people sometimes for the sins that we fall into. Well, if you hadn't done this, I wouldn't have done it. We're supposed to be able to stand up for what's right on our own two feet. Make our own decisions and know what's right and wrong. You see, because Father had said in chapter 2, verses 16, 17, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. He had warned them. No, they didn't drop dead physically right then, but they began to die. It took a while, but eventually they died. Sin came into their life. There was spiritual death that took place right away. Do you know that if they had never taken of that tree, Adam and Eve would still be alive today? In all probability. The world would be a whole lot different today, that's for sure. But he said, very first excuse given to God, that woman, you gave her to me. You ladies may laugh, but sometimes you say, that man. There's a lot of excuses that are given to the Father in the Bible. One of them we're not going to get into too much today, just briefly touch on it, was Moses. You know, when Moses was out spending his second 40 years of his life in the desert, on the backside of the desert, taking care of his father-in-law's sheep, and God appears to him in the midst of the burning bush, tells him he wants him to go back to Egypt, deliver the people from bondage. What does he start doing? I can't do this. I stutter. I'm a wanted man. And he's coming up, and for every one of them, God had an answer. He said, okay, you stutter? I'll take your brother Aaron with you. He knows how to talk. You know, God had prepared Moses for almost, at this point, 80 years to do a job. And when God prepares you for a job, He's going to help you do that job. Amen. Moses finally went, but he sure made a lot of excuses. When God speaks to us to do something, we sometimes make a lot of excuses as to why we can't do it. But God, I can't, whatever reason. Here's another golden excuse that was made. It was made actually to Moses, but Moses was acting as God's agent. In the book of Exodus chapter 32, Moses has been up on the mountain. He's been communing with God. The Ten Commandments have been given to him. And he comes back down off the mountain, and what does he find? This people that has been delivered from Egypt's bondage, God's chosen people, they're dancing around a golden calf, worshiping it. Because while Moses is up there, they said, we got to have a God. Make us a golden calf. Make us something like we had back in Egypt. And they danced around and gave worship to that golden calf. I tell you, some of the things that people will worship are the most ridiculous things you can think about. But they'll do it. You see, God instilled within us the desire to worship Him. But Satan has corrupted it, so we'll worship a lot of different things. And we'll worship all kinds of garbage. They were worshiping a golden calf. Now, I know somebody said, well, now, Brother Unger, you just offended a whole bunch of golden calf worshipers out there. It's too bad. Just telling you what the Bible has to say. So, Aaron, in chapter 32, verse 22, and Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. That's good old King James Version. And English and King James, you know, unfortunately we as Americans don't speak King James, so sometimes we have a little trouble understanding it. You know, that's why I love preaching in Guyana, man. They understood King James. They spoke King James English just about. So sometimes with the these and the thous in there, you know. But I want to read it to you from the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, and Aaron replied, my Lord shouldn't be so angry. You know what these people are like. That they are determined to do evil. And look around you. People, it seems like, are determined to do evil. People sometimes just get up in the morning and their first thought comes in their mind is, what kind of trouble can I get into today? Some of you here know that each year I go to a certification class at the Williamson County Jail. It's to keep my certification so that in case somebody ends up in there that I know, or somebody wants me to go visit somebody, I can go see them without having to go through a lot of hassle to get in to see them. And in the certification class, they tell us why there are certain rules. And one of the reasons that they have some of these rules is because these guys are in here with 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, trying to think up how they can hurt us or how they can come up with certain things. And believe me, some of the stuff they come up with in there, if they were to put this talent to good use, these guys could be millionaires just off of their inventions. I know one person at the first certification class complained because they couldn't just take a multitude of Bibles in there to them. They said, no, you've got to bring the Bibles here, and we hand the Bibles out. Nobody needs 20 Bibles. And some of these people in the past had 20 Bibles. He said, you know what they use them for? He says, they cut the inside out. They smuggle drugs in it. He says, these guys will smoke about anything. And he says, hey, Bible paper makes good wrapping paper for that. He says, so that's what they use it for. See, people want to do evil, it seems like. So Aaron is saying here, you know what these people are like? They're determined to do evil. He goes on, still reading from the Complete Jewish Bible, so they said to me, make us gods to go ahead of us, because this Moses, the man that brought us up from the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. So I answered them, anyone with gold, strip it off. So they gave it to me, and I threw it in the fire. Oh, I love this one. I threw it in the fire, and out came this calf. I mean, that'd be like me going around here building a bonfire out there and coming along. Any of you got any gold jewelry here? And give me your gold jewelry. And I'd go out there and throw that gold jewelry in the fire, and out comes some idol. Now, if I told you I could do that, you wouldn't believe me. And you'd be right, I couldn't do it. And here's Aaron trying to explain to God how this gold calf got there. I just threw it in the fire and this thing came out. Another excuse. And of course, there's the excuse, I can't do it. It's kind of funny because Friday night we heard that one from Sammy. We went to pick him up and he was in the middle of a nap when we got there. And he was telling me, I just can't do this. I just can't do it. Jeremiah the prophet, chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. Says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am as a child. And sometimes, here God has spoken to Jeremiah here, and he's saying, I ordained thee while you were still in the womb. I ordained thee to be a prophet. I sanctified thee. And Jeremiah is saying, but God, I can't do it. I'm just a child. Whoever God calls, God qualifies. He said, I qualified you from the beginning. Don't tell me you can't do it. And the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whosoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Or whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Whatever God tells you to do, do it. Quit making excuses when God tells you to do something. I've not always really wanted to do everything that God's spoke to me to do. But, to the best of my knowledge, I have done what He's spoken to me to do. A few times I was very hesitant, but gone a few places I really didn't want to go. Things like that. But if God calls you, don't give Him excuses why you can't do it. There are always the excuses that we, in the world, period, whether you're in church or whether you're not in church, there's all kinds of excuses. There's the excuse, well, I'll do it tomorrow. How many of us use that excuse, well, I'll do it tomorrow? A lot of us do that, you know. It's called procrastinating, too. Tomorrow never comes, you see, because when you wake up the next day, it's today, and it's not, you know, so you've got another tomorrow to look forward to that you hope. I'll do it tomorrow. I'm too busy. I know we live in a busy world today. It's a busy world. A lot of things to do. I'm too busy. And here's the one that really Eve could have come up with. But it was made famous by a comedian by the name of Flip Wilson back in the 70s, I believe it was. The devil made me do it. You know, he had his character he portrayed, and that was one of the things he always, but the devil made me do it. Eve could have said that to God. The devil made me do this. I mean, after all, he told me, you know. And so many times we seem to want to do that. Well, the devil made me do it. There's a lot of things the devil didn't make us do that we want to blame him for. In fact, there's a lot of things that we get ourselves in trouble for that we'd like to blame the devil for, and he really had nothing to do with it. We get ourselves into these problems. Jesus gave an example of excuses that we in the church world especially are to take note of. Because you see in the book of Luke chapter 14, beginning with the 16th verse, it says, I'll give you just a second to get there. I know I'm going a little fast maybe here. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. And he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent begin to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Anybody here ever buy property? A lot of us have. Did you ever buy that property without seeing it? Yeah, I have. I have to say that. But I got to go check my property out. I bought it. I can't come. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excuse. Now, I know probably here that excuse probably wouldn't apply to us today, but we'd probably say something like, I just bought a new tractor, and I got to go test drive it out there in the field. So have me excused. And then another said, oh, this is the good one. Another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So his excuse, he's laying the blame on somebody else. Well, you know, this wife I've got now, she's not going to let me come. I can't come. Why? Back when I got drafted, I should have tried that one. As I got married in November the 4th, 1967, 30 days later, I got my greetings from Uncle Sam. And 30 days after that, I was in the Army now. You know? I wonder if I'd have said, but I just married a wife and I can't come, if they would have excused me. Somehow I don't think so. Especially since they also had guys that went to Fort Ord with me that were blind in one eye, one missing part of a leg, another who was so small that they couldn't find a uniform that would fit him. I just don't think that excuse would have worked. That was it. I was breathing when I walked through the door. That was all they cared about. Excuses. And we do the same thing today. We do the same thing sometimes as the church world when it comes to going to church. We sometimes, I can't go because it's too hot. Sometimes we say, I can't go because it's too cold. And I realize there are times that's a valid excuse. Especially when it comes to too cold. If you got ice on the roads out there and stuff, then you know maybe there's a valid excuse as to why you can't come because of the weather. You know, if it's 40 below and the roads are iced over, most of us wouldn't get here even if we tried. You know. But if the temperature's 5 degrees cooler than what we'd like, it becomes too cold. Or if it's 5 degrees warmer than what we like, it's too hot. Starts too early. We start at 10 o'clock here. That's too early for some people. starts, it lasts too long. I don't think we've run into that problem so far. Lasts too long. Well, some people, if it lasts more than 30 minutes, that's too long. Seats are too hard. Anybody ever been in a church where they had old wooden benches? Our old wooden folding chairs? Something like that? And it didn't take too long for those seats to start feeling too hard, did it? We're used to the comfort. Now, we just put pews in here. They're nice and padded. So nobody should be saying that the seats are too hard. Somebody might say, but they're the wrong color. I told people our church is patriotic. We have red seats, we have blue carpet, and we have white walls. We're red, white, and blue.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Seats are too hard. I remember going to churches in Guyana where it was wooden benches and those seats were hard and people sat there for 3 hours or more at a time. Didn't hear one of them say, it lasts too long. And then they had to walk maybe 5 miles home and get up in the morning and go to work. We're blessed people.
Amen.
God has blessed us with all, and we still complain. I don't want to go to church at the Lord's house. No siree. I don't want to go there. Man, that preacher gets on my case. I had to throw that one in that way this morning. I don't know why, but it happens at other churches too. I don't want to go because the preacher gets on my case. And there's a lot of churches that happens at. I don't want to go because the preacher gets on my case. He preaches something that convicts me. I've told you folks here time and time again. I'll tell you one more time. It probably won't be the last time. There are going to be times when you come to church and you're going to leave feeling bad because you got convicted about something. And there are going to be times you're going to leave feeling good because you got blessed.
Amen.
But I'm not doing my job if at times you don't get convicted, especially if you're doing something wrong. But it seems like today all people want to do is go to church and find out how to feel just nothing but good. That's not the way it works. Preacher gets on my case. You know, there are excuses that will keep some folks out of heaven. I thought right then of the parable of the foolish wise and the foolish virgins. Five of them got kept out of the banquet, the marriage supper there, because they didn't bring enough oil. And they had to go find more oil. Where the five wise said, just in case things go a little bit longer than we expected here, we'll take some extra oil. And when they banged on the door, they said, but I had to go get some more oil. They didn't get in. They didn't get in. And they were left sitting on the doorstep. Well, they had oil in their lamps then, but they were sitting on the doorstep. They didn't get in. Some people say, well, my excuse is, no, not today. I'll get saved at a more convenient time. After all, I want to go out and have a good time. And I've heard people say this. I want to go out and have a good time. I want to party first. Then I'll get saved. In fact, I think I'll wait till just about 30 seconds before I draw my last breath and then I'll get saved. That's cutting it pretty close, but that's the way some people want to cut it. A lot of them miss it. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get saved. Not tomorrow, today. Amen. Because you have no guarantee of tomorrow. I was sitting last night telling Reese and Katrina where some important papers were in the house. And I think Katrina maybe said, well, you aren't thinking about dying, are you? And I said, no. But you never know. I could walk out tomorrow and get hit by a truck. I'm not planning on dying in the immediate future. But I don't know what tomorrow holds. None of us do. There are people that left their homes this past week, got out on the highway going somewhere. And before they got where they were going, they were killed in accidents. One here in the Mount Pleasant area, just this week that happened. Lady left home going somewhere. She never made it. So behold, today is the day of salvation. Don't count that you're going to get a chance to do it tomorrow. Some people, it's too late for me. Did you ever talk to anybody that, well, it's too late for me? I've been a terrible person. It's too late for me. How can God love me? Jesus died for all. And I don't know, maybe this is not the best way to put it, because really there's no such thing as a good sinner and a bad sinner type sin thing there. But some people, you're born in sin, let's face it, folks. You're born in sin, so you're a sinner to start with. Some folks live pretty good lives, though. I've met some people that have led some very good lives. And I know some people that have led some pretty rotten lives. But Jesus died for each one of them, whether they were a good sinner or a bad sinner. Died for all of them. But Romans 10:13 says, whosoever that calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we call on His name, it says He will save us. We got to do that first. We can't have somebody else call on His name for us. I'd like to be saved. Steve, would you call on Jesus' name for me so that I can be saved? Steve can pray that you'll be saved. But you've got to be the one that asks Him to forgive you of your sin. That's the thing that you have to do. Nobody else can do it for you. And some people say, well, I tried to be a Christian, but I failed. There are sometimes things that go wrong in our Christian walk, and we stumble, and we fall, and we fail. But He's there to pick us back up if we'll let Him. Jude 1:24 says, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. He is there to help you. You know, that's one thing I always tell people I like about David. David, the Bible says, is a man after God's own heart. Yet, you can read through the Bible and the story of David and you find out he failed miserably. Had people killed. Committed adultery. Did all kinds of things that were wrong. But yet, he knew how, when he failed, to make things right with God. And that's the key right there. I'm not saying, well, okay, man, I'll just go out here and do anything I want to, and then I'll ask God. You can press God too much, too. But when he failed, he knew how to ask God for forgiveness. And I know this is the thing that's going around today. But God is a loving God. And He won't send anybody to hell. Well, let me tell you something, folks. God has never sent anybody to hell. We make that decision. God has never sent anybody to hell. We make the decision. He made a way for us to escape it. Doesn't cost us any money. All we have to do is say, Jesus, I accept the salvation that You provided for me. Forgive me of my sin. All it takes. Made it easy for us. He never sent anybody to hell. But we send ourselves there. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. If you go to hell, you've got no one to blame but yourself. He made it simple for you to escape hell. Made it easy. Just simply accept Jesus. Repent and accept Jesus. Of course, here's a good excuse that some people give. There's too many hypocrites in the church. You ever hear that one? Oh, I can't go to church because there's too many hypocrites there. Well, let's face it, folks, there's not a perfect church out there. If we were in the perfect church here this morning, we wouldn't be here. We'd already be in glory if we were in the perfect church. So we all have our problems. All of us have failings. Sometimes we get mad. Sometimes we get frustrated. Sometimes we do other things that we shouldn't do. We're not perfect. We're only made perfect through the blood of Jesus Christ. If we've got Jesus Christ in our heart, God sees us as perfect. But man doesn't see us that way. Man sees our faults. And all you've got to have done is done one thing wrong for somebody to say, well, that hypocrite, that's what they did. I can't go to church with them because they're a hypocrite. Well, unto those folks, all I can say is, I'm sorry, but you're going back up to this other one. You're sending yourself to hell. If you can't go because somebody in the church is a hypocrite, you better go get saved yourself and pray for them then. But that's an excuse. Romans 14:12 says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We have to worry about ourselves to God. Let God deal with the hypocrites. You get along a lot better in church. Enjoy life a lot better if you don't worry about the hypocrites. Let God take care of them. You know, we need to pause sometimes and just remember what our Heavenly Father's done for us. John 3:16, which is probably the best known scripture out of the entire Bible, tells us that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved us. He didn't say, well, I really love those folks down there and I'd like to pay the penalty for their sin somehow and make it easier for them than what they're going through right now. Angel George, come over here, Angel George. Now listen, Angel George, I got to have a sacrifice for those people down there. So Angel George, I'm going to appoint you to be the sacrifice for those people. And you're going to go down there and give your life for them. No, he didn't do that. Looked around and said, son, I really love those people down there. As rotten as some of them are, I love them. You know, we're the same way about our own families. Sometimes you've got some really rotten people in your family, and you still love them, though, because they're your family. He says, son, we've got to do something for those folks. I'm going to send you down there and let you be the sacrifice for their sin. Man, that's love. Because if we were asked to do something like that, for example, Reese, if you were asked to sacrifice Casey for some cause, would you do it? And I can see him shaking his head before I ever got finished with a sentence back there. No way, Jose. No. But God so loved us. He said, I'm going to send Jesus to die on a cross. And it wasn't a pleasant death. Everything I've ever read or heard about crucifixion and what people who were crucified went through physically It is not a pleasant death. Excruciatingly painful. In fact, some of those people who are being crucified probably looked forward to the time that the guards came around and broke their legs so that they couldn't support their weight anymore. And then they suffocated faster. But He loved us so much that He sent Jesus to die for us. God loves us. And yet we sit back as a people and we make so many excuses why we can't reciprocate on that love. Why we won't accept Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary. Why we can't live a Christian life. Let's quit making excuses. Father, whatever You said for me to do, I'll do it. There's a song they used to sing years ago. I don't even know if I can remember all the words to it anymore, but it was, I'll go where You want me to go. I'll do what You want me to do. I'll say what You want me to say. And I remember a young lady that I knew back then told me, I can't sing that song. Because I don't want to. God's going to call me to Africa if I sing that song. I just know it. To be a missionary. So I can't sing that song. I don't know whatever happened to her. Don't think she ever was a missionary to Africa. God probably would have never called her to be a missionary to Africa. All God wants you to do is be willing. Just be willing. Because there's some things He asks you to do, and when you say, okay, I'll do it, He never really makes you do it. But you know what? When you open up your heart and you say, Father, whatever You want me to do, I'll do what You want me to do, I'll say what You want me to say, I'll go where You want me to go, you'll live a lot better life. You'll have a lot more pleasant life. Yeah, things might get tough, and they might get a little sticky sometimes, and you might be discomforted sometimes. But I'll tell you, when you're doing what God has called you to do, there's that peace that's in your heart that you can't get anywhere else. Not always easy, following God. Not always easy. And I'll have to admit to you, there have been some times that I didn't want to. I wasn't saying I was going to backslide or anything like that, but Lord, I'm just kind of tired of this preacher thing. You know, I'd like to get out of this. Because it can get tough at times. And I have to say, lately my prayer has been, Lord, help me 2 more years at least. Because I want to make it to 50 on it. And I said, that's one thing I'd like to do, Father. I'd like to make 50 years in pulpit ministry. Got 2 more years to go. And I'm not planning about retiring then either. I don't think I'll make it to 75 years in it, but who knows? But anyway, let's quit making excuses. And we can all come up with them sometimes. I remember the story, and I'll close with this. Remember the story of the lady that came in? She said, son, it's time to get up and go to church. I don't want to go. Son, you got to get up and go to church. But those people there, they hate me. Son, you got to get up and go to church. I don't feel good. Son, you got to get up and go to church. I don't want to go. Why should I have to go? And she says, but son, you're the pastor. Excuses. Are we making excuses as to why we can't serve God? Are we making excuses as to why we can't do what God has called us to do? Father, I ask today that You would touch lives, Father, whether somebody's listening to this program by the internet or other means, by CD or whatever, Father. I just pray, Father, that You would help them today in their life. And Father, if they've been making excuses as to why they can't serve You or why they can't accept Jesus as their Savior, I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would deal with them today. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.